Today's shir is Masechta Baba Metzia Daf Kuf Tezayin. We will begin on Daf Kuf Tezayin Amud Aleph at the sixth line. Tanya Kavasa Rabbi Yehuda. In our previous shir, we had learned the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that if somebody takes a mashkin of the Rechaim Verechav, the two parts of the mill that are used to grind wheat into flour, we had learned that the halacha was that Rabbi Yehuda said that you don't get a separate lav, you don't get separate malchus for kinefesh u'chayvel. So says the Gemara, the Brisa says, v'chaval zug shel saporim. If somebody, if the malva took a pair of scissors, and of course we know a scissor is made up of two blades, which are used together, or kain tzemet shel paris. So the posh pshat and tzemet shel paris actually means the what's put on the top of an animal. However, the Rishonim point out that when we speak about the kalim, the tools that are taken in our Gemara, we're speaking about tools that are used for eichel nefesh, to prepare food. And the equipment that's put on an animal is not directly used for eichel nefesh. And because of that question, many Rishonim suggest that we're not speaking about the actual tool that's put on top of the animal, but rather what's put on top of the grain, like a two-part piece of equipment that's put on the grain. So the Braisa says, given that these are things that are used for Eichel Nefesh, Chayv Shtayim. Because since each part of the scissor is used, and each part of this tzemed is used, so therefore you're over the lav of kinefesh u'chayvel, even though they use for the same purpose. Zeh ba'atzmai. But if you took just one blade of the scissor, for example, and a chayev el achas, you're only chayev one set. So we see from here that when we have two blades, you get two malchus, but this isn't necessarily a proof to what Rabbi Yehuda said, because even Rabbi Huna may agree that you'll only get two malchus, because the Isser is Eichel Nefesh, and that's why only by Rechaim V'Rechev will Rabbi Huna hold you get three malchus, anywhere else not. But now the Gemara says, there's another Braisa. But Tanya Idach, there's another Braisa that teaches us, Chavazug Shemes Barayim, if somebody took the scissors or the Tzemet Shabach, Yochi Yal Chayev El Achas, that she get only one Malkus, Tamaloyim of the Torah says, Lo Yachbal Rechaim V'Rechev, says the Braisa, Ma Rechaim V'Rechev Shem Yuchadim, that they're made up of two parts, the upper stone and the lower stone, but they, Oysa Malach Achas, they used to grind the flour, V'chayv al zebef natzvah, al zebef natzvah, V'chayv for each one individually. Af kol dvarim shem shnei kelim yichodim, whenever you have a piece of equipment that's made up of two parts, V'chayv malach achas, and they're used together, V'chayv al zebef natzvah, al zebef natzvah. So we see from here that if somebody takes the chayim v'rechev, you get two malchus, like Rabbi Yehuda said, al zebef natzvah, v'al zebef natzvah, but you won't get a third malchus for nefesh u'chayvel. And therefore we have a proof that for nefesh u'chayvel you don't get an independent malchus. So what we learn from here, that by comparing the scissors to the rechaim v'rechev, that you get two malchus. Now, we also explained the Rishonim, Rashi, that we need the previous braisa that we began our shiur with today, because the first price that we learned today says you get two malchus and not three. So when this brisa connects with that brisa, where that brisa says you get two malchus when you take the two blades, and this brisa says that you won't get for rechaim v'rechev, for kenefesh u'chayvel, clearly we have an indication that this follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. But it's interesting that the Ravid says that even though the Braisa says that if you take the two, you'll get two malchus, I saw that the Ravid says, but what will happen if you took one and you used it? And after you took one and you used it, then you took the other one. So then the Ravid wants to suggest that you won't be chayiv for the second one. The Ravid wants to suggest you'll only be chayiv if you use both, but if at the same time. But if you take one, the second one alone becomes a meaningless piece of equipment. And since at that point it becomes a meaningless piece of equipment, the Ravid says you'll only be chayiv for the first one. Says the Gemara, who gave the not the choval sakinta dashkaf the mechavri? Somebody who took a knife. So the Pashup Pshat Rashi says is the knife that's used by butchers. But I saw that the Rishonim disagree with Rashi, because I was going to learn later in our shir that what was taken was something that people are particular not to lend to someone else. The butcher's knife is not that type of a knife that people would care if somebody else will use that butcher. And therefore, the Tosfos Rosh says that we're speaking about the knife that's used by Shoichtim. And we know that the knife of a Shoichit, he has to be extremely careful with, because if the knife is used, if the knife gets any pegima, if the knife gets any nick, then it becomes disqualified to be used for shechita. And that's why Shoichtim, of course, are very particular that they won't lend it to anyone else. And that's why they explain that we're speaking about the knife of a Shoichit. Then Muki Yosef says that the knife that's being referred to is a knife that was used by people who worked with leather. And he says the same point. The people who are very careful to use that knife and not lend it to anyone else, and that's why it's something that people are very particular about. So Asla Kameh Dabaya, and Abaya said Zila Hadre. Abaya said if you took this type of a knife from the loiva, you have to return it. Why? Because it's kli shoisen by Eichel Nefesh. It's a piece of equipment that's used for Eichel Nefesh. And therefore, you may not take it as a mashkin. And he said, v'tok kum b'din ela. And now, go to the Torah. Yes, the loiva owes you money. And because the loiva owes you money, you should take him to the Torah. So the Rishonim point out from here, we see that if somebody takes a mashkin, which he didn't realize you're not allowed to take that type of a item as a mashkin, then the halacha is that you have to return it. But the Rishonim say it depends. If I didn't realize that I wasn't allowed to take it and I took it, when I realized that I made a mistake, then the halacha is I have to return it. But if it's a situation where I knew I'm not allowed to take it, and I took it anyway, then the halacha is that I don't have to give it back. It goes into the question that is this lav, a lav hanitik lase. We know that the Torah many times speaks about lavin that are connected to mitzvahs lase, that the mitzvahs lase could correct the lav. And the question is, of taking a mashkin, that taking a nashkin that you're not supposed to take, is that something that you have to return? And Tosfos says it depends if you knew that you weren't allowed to take it, then you don't have to return it. If you didn't know, you do have to return it. Interestingly, the Mordechai disagrees. And he says, and the way to understand the machloikis of the Mordechai and Tosfos is really a fundamental question on how to understand the lav of Layachbal Rechaim Verechav. There's two ways of understanding the lav. Tosfos obviously understands that the lav is violated at the moment you take something that you weren't supposed to take. And that lav is one and over. Whereas the Mordechai's opinion is that the lav of Layachbal Rechaim Verechav is a lav that you're continuously violating as you took something that you weren't supposed to take. If it's a lav that you're continuously violating because you took something that you weren't supposed to take, so you always have the opportunity not to continue being over the lav. The way you have the opportunity of not being over the lav is by is by returning it. And according to Mordechai, it wouldn't make a difference under what circumstances you took it. So again, Abai said, return it because it's a keli shoysim by Echel Nefesh. And as we've been learning, that you're not allowed to take a keli shoysim by Echel Nefesh. And regarding the money that you owed, tor kam bedina Allah, go to have a din Torah. L'rav Amar, tzarech l'mekim bedina Allah. The malva doesn't have to go to din Torah. Because once he took the knife, then he is a strong position, in a strong position. Because Yochalitin, he could always take the position and say, if he wanted to, say the knife is his. And if the knife is his, at Kedei Demeim, if the value of the knife is equivalent to the value of the loan, so he could say, I have the knife, and you don't owe me anything. He's being honest and saying that the knife is not his, that he took it as a mashkin. And therefore, since he had a migui that he could have said he kept it, so then, even though, as the Mordechai says, he has to give back the knife, but what the mashkin is supposed to accomplish, that now his claim, that he's guaranteed with his claim, that's been accomplished no matter what. And therefore, there's no need, there's no problem under any circumstances. Furthermore, Rambam points out that even though the Gemara is saying that this migui puts him into a strong position, says the Rambam, it still will require that he should make a shvuah in order that his claim should be believed. Says the Gemara, Abai lesla his svara. Does Abai not agree that this migui should give him a strong position? Ask the Gemara, my shna, why should this be any different? Behani izi d'ochel chush ben hador. In the city of Nador, there were goats that ate the barley of somebody. And the person who owned that barley seized those goats, the katan tuva, and he was saying that they ate a lot of the grain, and this the equivalent to the value of the goat. And Avud Shmuel said, Yochel litoim ad kdei demayin, because of the migui that he could have said that I bought these goats, he's believed when he says that this is the amount that they ate. So we see that they subscribe to the smigui. Answers the Gemara, Hasam la midid of the lushla gurihu. Goats are not something that people normally rent out their goats. So if I am in possession of your goat, it's obvious that that gives me a very strong position, and that's why my migui is a very strong migui. However, hocha, when somebody takes the knife, midid the of lushla gurihu, it's something that people typically lend out, because says the Gemara, the Shalach Rav Huna bar Oven, Rav Huna bar Oven sent the following message, Dvarim hasuyin lahasha lahaskel, things that are often lent out, amal kuchen biyadei, and now somebody says that the fact that I have possession of it is a proof that it's mine, and if I'm being honest and saying it's not mine, I should be believed with a migui, since it's something that people lend or rent, then you can't have a migui. So the Rishonim ask that we never rely on a migui to lahaitzi mamon. How could we rely on this mamon to use to get the money that I'm owed? So the Rishonim answer that indeed a migui itself cannot be used to make somebody pay me money. The migui over here is being accompanied with the fact that I'm holding on to it. And since the fact that I'm holding on to it gives me a stronger position, and therefore here a migui will be believed even lahaitzi mamon to say that you owe me money. There's a machloikis rishonim, what is considered lahashel or lahaskel. So the Rambam's opinion is that it has to be something that was originally intended to be lent out or rented. The Raiva disagrees. He says, even if I have something that my original intention was not to lend or rent, it's something that I'm willing to lend or rent, that's enough to make it into a Dvar Masuim L'hash L'haskel. The Rava asked the Gemara, does Rava not agree to this distinction that we just made between Kalim Shasuim L'hash L'haskel versus Kalim that are not meant to L'hash L'haskel? The Rava, Leslie has Svara, says the Gemara, Rava, there was a situation for apik zug in the sarbala. There was a scissors that were used to cut wool garments. The safrid agaratam, they used to have sforim of agaratam yasme, that the yisoimim inherited these types of things, and they were, everybody knew that they belonged to somebody else because they dvar masum lahashla haskel, and the father would not be believed to say that they're mine, and the proof that they were his was because they were in his possession. Says the Gemara, Amalach Rava. So Rava says, as we said at the beginning of the sugya, Hani Nami, when we speak about these knives, Kivan the Mifkma, since they're very sensitive to make sure that they should not be get any nicks in them, any begimus in them, Kapshi Inish Vilaimilshli, these are the kind of things that are not given out to be lent, and therefore he can be believed with that migui. It's similar to things that people lend. So the Gemara spoke here about Sifrei Agarata. And the Gemara says that Sifrei Agarata are something that are lent. What are Sifrei Agarata? Sifrei Agarata are Sfarim that they used to have drushes in. The Cheshuki Chemed has an interesting discussion. What is the status of Sifrei Agarata versus Sifrei Halacha? So he says that Sifrei Halacha, if the Gemara here is saying that they used to lend the Sifrei Agarata, certainly there's a point to lend out Sifrei Halacha, because the Cheshukei Chemed says, the Gemara at Masechta Ksuba Staf Nun Amun Aleph teaches us, the Pasuk says, V'tzitkosoi Omedis La'ad, Zeh HaKos of Sarim, refers to a person, U'mashil Melacherim, and he lends it to other people that they should be able to use those sforim. So if people are supposed to lend that sforim d'agarata, he says, which are sforim that people just use for drush, for learning drush, certainly people should lend out sifrei halacha that they need to be able to know what the halacha is to do, and they need to use for understanding shas and mishnais. And therefore, he says, a question. Somebody wants to donate Sfarim to a shul, to a yeshiva, and the question is, which Sfarim should he donate? Should he donate Sifrei Agarata, or should he donate Sifrei Halacha? And there's a strong argument, he says, that maybe he should donate Sifrei Halacha, which are more important than Sifrei Agarata. But he says a very interesting point. He says the way to make this decision is not just what type of Sfarim are more important for one to have. Is it more important for you to have Sifrei Halacha or Sifrei Agada? He actually suggests what is more important to decide is what is going to be used more. When somebody donates Sfarim to a shul, what he should be thinking about, or to yeshiva, is which Sefer is going to be used and which Sefer is not going to be used. And therefore, he suggests that these Sfarim that are used more, that the Sfarim make that decision, and based on that decision, that's what you should donate. Hanu lacha mekabel, hanu lacha mekabel, hanu lacha mekabel. Says the Mishnah Abayis v'Leyah Shel Shnayim. If you have a person, you have a home, a two-story home, the bottom floor is owned by one individual, and the upper floor is owned by another individual, Shenaflu. And this house collapsed. Shneim, and we have all the material that was used to build this house. And in the world that they lived, the material was reused. So says the Mishnah Shneim, Cholkim Ba'itzim Ba'avonim U'Ba'ofer. The material, the wood and the stones and the sand, is equally divided. However, if there are stones that are still whole, and there are stones that are broken, and obviously everybody would prefer to have the whole stones, how do we make a determination which were the stones from the bottom floor and which were the stones from the upper floor? Says the Mishnah, Roin Elu Avonim Asuyas Dostakar. If the two ways that the house could have collapsed, one way is then that the house just collapsed, it just fell down. In that case, it's more likely that the stones on the bottom are the stones that broke, and the stones that are still whole are from the top. Sometimes the way the house falls is the wall just falls down. If the wall just falls down, then it's more likely it's just the other way around, that the stones from the top of the wall are the stones that broke, and the stones on the bottom are still whole. If one of the people is able to identify, one of these two partners is able to clearly identify which is his and which is the other person's, nightland, he should take those stones, and the Gemara will explain what that means. Says the Midik Tani, Royin, the Mishnah, by saying that we can make this determination, we could determine e b'chas v'nafel, if it just collapsed down, e b'chavot v'nafel, or if it fell because the wall fell down. Ask the Gemara, ihachi, if that's the case of our Mishnah, that by looking at the way things happen here, we can make that determination. So ask the Gemara, Reisha, my Chalka, why did the Reisha say that we just divide the stone because we don't know what to do? Why in the Reisha, ask the Gemara, shouldn't we make this determination? Nechsi, b'chavot nafal, if it fell because the wall fell down, it's a proof that's an indication that liyasa isper, that the upper stone broke. V'b'chavos nafal, and if it just collapsed as it stood, it's a proof that the teyasa itber, that the bottom stones broke. Answers the Gemara, le'tzricha, the nafa belayla. This happened by night. So says the Gemara, v'lechsa b'tzafra. So let's, in the morning, see how the stones look. We'll be able to make the determination that way. Says the Gemara, depeninu. By the time they come there in the morning, they had cleared away the stones. So ask the Gemara, v'lechsa man peninu. Let's ask the people who made this clearing, who cleared away the stone, the Lashaili, and asked them. Answers the Gemara, the Panina Bere Shus Rabbim, the people from the just walking by cleared it, Vazal Amma, and they're not here, so we don't know whom to ask. But ask the Gemara, why don't we use a different way of making a determination? Because as we often say in our Shurim, a very big part of Shas, a very big part of approaching the questions in Shas, is when we have a suffix, when we're not sure what to do, the halacha tells us different methods to use how to determine what to do in a suffix. So here, as we're learning, we have a suffix, and one of the ways to deal with a suffix is to see possession. Who is possession of this object? So let's see, ask the Gemara v'lechsa b'reshus d'man yasrin. Let's see whose property these stones are in. He'll have the upper hand. Answers the Gemara, it's sitting in a chatz that belongs to both of them together. So the fact that it's that isn't the way of making a determination. Inami, it fell into the Rishus Rabbim. So again, if it fell into the Rishus Rabbim, that's not a way of being able to make a determination. When you have two shutvim who share a wall, the kapti adadi, they're not particular to each other. They're not particular which they give each one, the other one, permission to leave things even in their chatzar. So since I give you permission to leave things in my chatzar, the fact that something is found in my chatzar doesn't prove that it's mine. The Chazanish says that you don't have to make a kinyan. Just the fact that I gave you permission to put something in my chatzar is enough that the fact that it's in my chatzar should not be an indication that it's mine. The Tzais disagrees with the Chazanish. And the Tzais' opinion is that in order to be able to use this concept, we have to have a situation where there was a kinyan, where I gave you a permission to put your things in my chatzar with a kinyan. If we learned in the Mishnah, if somebody could identify his stones, so now ask the Gemara, I identified that these stones are mine. So ask the Gemara, what is the other partner saying? What is the other partner saying? Either coming in, if he's agreeing, says the Gemara, pshita, then there is no question that what I say goes. It's very much consistent with what we always say, bar v'shema, bar yadav. But if the other partner is not agreeing, so ask the Gemara, Lama Neitel, why do I have permission to take it? Why I have Hamaitzim Chavera, Olav Araya? Don't I have to be able to prove my point? Says the Gemara, Al Da'amalei Eni Yedeya. So I say I know that these stones are mine, and the other partner says, I just don't know. And the Gemara is saying that this is a situation of Bari V'Shem, a Bari Adav. I'm certain you are not, that the Loch is Bari V'Shem, a Bari Adav. Ask the Gemara, but if that's the way you're going to learn, Lamed have it to you after Rav Nachman. So this should be a refutation of what Rav Nachman taught us. Damar, Ditmar, Rav Nachman taught us, if I say to you, Mana li biyotcha, you owe me money, V'Allah ama any day, and you say, I don't know, Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, Amri Chayiv, because the Allah is Bari V'Shem and Bari Adif. Rav Nachman, Rav Yochan, Amri Pate, because they still claim that you have to have Hamoitz Mechavera Olav Araya. So if that's the case, why are we, if we're explaining that the Mishnah is talking about a Bari V'Shema, since I'm certain and you're not, how will Rav Nachman be able to defend his opinion? So Tosfos asks a question. Why is Rav Nachman not ready to subscribe to Bari V'Shem and Bari Adav? Because there's another competing concept of Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Araya. But here, as the Gemara just finished explaining, it's not Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Araya. Because the Gemara just finished explaining that the stones were found in a Rishus that belongs to both of us. It belongs to the Rishus or the Rishus Rabbim. And therefore, it's not any more mine than yours. So shouldn't Rav Nachman agree in such a situation that we don't say Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Araya? So the Tosfos answers, yes. We don't have here the point, the fact that it's a my Rishus gives me a strong position that I should be able to say Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Araya. But says Tosfos, there's another consideration. Tosfos says the other consideration is that I do for certain own half the stones. And the fact that I own half the stones puts me into a very strong position, and because that puts me into a strong position, that's why Rav Nachman still claims Hamotz Mechaver Olav Araya. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Kegon Sheyesh Esek Shvu Beinayim. The way we had this teretz previously, we're referring here to a situation where shvua needs to be made anyway. As Rav Nachman said this elsewhere, here too he's going to say, we're referring here to a situation, Kegon Sheyesh Esek Shvua Beinayim. Heichi Dami Esek Shvua. So asking him, what does that mean? Kedrova, Dami Rova, Mana Li Biyotcha. If I turn around to you and I say, you owe me $100. V'Allah Ama En Lecha Yodi El Lecha Mishim. I know I owe you 50. V'Shar Eni Yedeya. So this is a situation of Moed V'Mixus, but it's a Moed V'Mixus where I can't swear. Because I'm saying I don't know. And the Allah is, Metoch Sheni Yochel L'Shava, if I can't swear Yishalim. And that's going to be the case of our Mishnah, where I'm agreeing that some of the stones that my partner says belong to him are his, and on the other rest of the stones, I just say I don't know. So I'm a Moed of a Mixus, but I can't swear because I really don't know. And that's why in such a case, even Rav Nachman will agree that the halacha is that the other person, we will say, Bari V'Shema, Bari Adif. The Tosfos says that in a case where there's a difference in halacha, where you say, I owe you something, where I say, I don't know if you ever left something with me, that, or if I said, I don't know if I returned it. Tosfos says, in a case where I say, I don't know if you ever left it with me, there Rav Nachman will not say Bari V'Shem and Bari Adav. Only in a case where I know I had something of yours, I just don't recall if I returned it or not, that's where Rav Nachman will agree that I give it back. And the way I understand what Tosfos means is that even though Rav Nachman, under these circumstances, is agreeing to the concept of Bari V'Shem and Bari Adav, that's only in a situation where the Bari is a strong Bari and the Shema is a weak Shema. But where the Bari is a weak Bari and the Shema is a strong Shema, there we don't say Bari V'Shema, Bari V'Shema, Bari Adif. Why is normally the Halacha a Bari V'Shema, Bari Adif? The Pnei Yeshua explains that a person is assumed to be honest. So if a person is saying definitively that this is mine, that's why we believe him. The Shaar Yosha says that in halacha, there's a concept of a taina. There's a concept of what is considered a good claim and what is considered not a good claim. A claim of a bari is a good, is considered a strong taina that halacha gives validity to. Another approach is really speaks to the heart of the matter. When are we, as we've been saying throughout our shir, what is the situation here? We have a situation of a suffix. And when we have a situation of the suffix, the halacha has to give us direction what to do when we have a suffix. Say the achronim, when one party is a bari and the other partner and the other person is a shema, then that's not a suffix. Because since there's one person here who's a bari, that makes it into a situation where it's not a suffix at all. And therefore, bari v'shema, bari adif. We learned further in the Mishnah, v'ayos le'min ha'cheshbon. So the person who recognizes the stones takes those stones. What does that mean? So it says the Gemara, that the first person takes whole stones that he's claiming belong to him, and the other partner will take broken stones equivalent to the whole stones, that same amount. Alma, Dharma, and Idea. So says Rava, based on this explanation, the kivin da ame yideya, once this person says any yideya, reyetiv tuva, tvei, he gets into a very weak position, and he's going to have to take broken stones equivalent to the amount that the other person took whole stones. Amalei baya adarabba, the svara, just the opposite. We could make an argument that harayetvei, that the first person who was able to identify certain stones as his position should be weakened. Why? Medahani yoda, he was able to identify certain stones, and he wasn't able to identify other stones. So isn't that a proof? Medahani yoda, that he was able to identify that these stones are mine, and the other stones he doesn't know, he doesn't able to identify. So maybe what that should tell us is that only the stones that he's saying are his should be his, and no other stones. Vidach and all the rest of the whole stones, kul d'haichninu, should belong to the other partner. Elam Baya. So Baya says, the way to understand the Mishnah is as follows. Lefi chesh mishleimus. If the first person was able to identify that these whole stones are his, then the other partner should take the equivalent amount of whole stones. So says the Gemara, we've just been learning that the person who has a taina that's a bari, that's a certain taina, is in a strong position. But the way the Gemara is explaining, the way Abaya is now explaining the Mishnah, his position is not strong at all. He's going to take whole stones, and the other partner is going to take the equal amount of whole stones. So what is he accomplishing? Says the Gemara, Lamavlan the Ravcha, there are whole stones, but there are bigger whole stones and smaller whole stones. So if he identified definitively that these big good stones are his, he'll get those big stones, which may be the best whole stones that are there. Inami, Tina de Ma'abda. There could be cement around those stones, and the stones could be made into cement, and better stones could be made into better cement, and that's why those stones that he identified as his are better than the other whole stones that the other partner is receiving. Says the Mishnah. Now we speak about a case where or the Sma gives one more nafkamina. The way we're learning now was that one partner was able to definitively say, these whole stones are mine. And the Gemara says that the other partner gets an equal amount of whole stones. That's only in a case, says the Sma, where there are that many whole stones left. But let's say the first partner, let's say there were 20 stones, and he was able to identify that 11 of the whole stones are his. So there are only 9 stones left over for the other partner. So then it'll change the entire situation, and the other partner will not get an equal amount of whole stones as the first partner got. Now, says the Mishnah, we're speaking about a bias for Leah. a home that has an upper floor and a lower floor that belongs to one person. The landlord lives on the bottom floor and he rented to someone else the upper floor. And the floor of the upper floor, the floor of the upper floor collapsed. And the landlord doesn't want to fix the upper floor. The person who lives in the upper floor comes down to the lower floor and lives there until he fixes the upper floor. Rabbi Yosef says that the landlord who's living on the bottom floor does not have the full responsibility of repairing the roof. But rather, he explains, the person who lives downstairs gives the bottom part of the ceiling, the elyon, and the person who lives on the upper floor gives the top part of the ceiling. The bottom part of the ceiling is what's my ceiling, and I live downstairs. The upper part of the ceiling belongs to the person who's living upstairs because that's his floor. Nivchasa, so we learned that the floor of the upper floor collapsed. Ask the Gemara the Kama. How much of the floor collapsed that it should be considered that it's unlivable? Rav Amar Baruba, if most of the floor in the upper story broke, that's when the person who lives on the upper floor has a claim. Shmuel says, even if it just broke, Arba Tfachim, the Rishonim say, Arba Tfachim means Arba Arba. It has to be four Tfachim square. So I saw that Rishonim explained that what is the machloikis here between Rav and Shmuel? The machloikis between Rav and Shmuel is if only four Tfachim got ruined, so you don't have a right to move into the bottom floor. You only lost four Tfachim. So Shmuel's opinion is that a person doesn't hold that the person doesn't want to live in two different floors. And since he lost the area of four Tfachim upstairs, that became unusable. So he has a right to be compensated. And compensation means that he should be able to live on one floor. And Rav says, if only four Tfachim got ruined, so yes, I who am the landlord, and I am the landlord live on the bottom floor, I have to give you another four Tfachim. So I'll give you four Tfachim in my apartment to make up for the four Tfachim that you lost upstairs, but it doesn't give you a right to move downstairs. So again, Nifchasa, Rav Bekama, what is called Nifchasa? Rav Amar Baruba, V'Shmuel Amar Ba'Arba. Rav Amar Baruba, Arba Arba Loi, if it's not the case, because he says the person can have part of his living downstairs and some part of his living upstairs. Adam da chetzi lamata v'chetzi lamala. V'Shmuel Amar Ba'Arba, if as long as that's already four tfachim broken, then the halacha will be you can't make a person live en adam da chetzi lamata v'chetzi lamala. But Rav says, I'll give you a place on my floor where you could put a closet or you could put a chest. That will make up for the place that you were living, and that's all that you're entitled to. So continues the Gemara. Hey Chidami, how was this rental arranged? Either Omar, Aliyah Zu Ani Maskaloch, they give him, I'm renting you specifically this upper story, Asda. So now this Aliyah is no longer here. And since the Aliyah is not here, so I could say that it's your bad luck. Not only did the Rishonim say that I could say to you it's bad luck, you're going to have to pay rent for the time that you lived here because you rented this specific apartment and I gave you this apartment for as long as I could give you. El Damalei Elias Tam. I just said I have to provide you an upper story apartment. So says the Gemara, if now that apartment became unusable, the loch should be the Logalei Achriti. I should have to rent for you a different apartment. What gives you the right that you should come down to my apartment? I should give you a different apartment, and like that, because we didn't agree to any specific apartment. So the Chazon Ish says, well, maybe I don't want to rent you another apartment. Says the Gemara that if the part, so the Chazon Ish explains, if the apartment got ruined to the extent that it's not usable, so says the Chazon Ish, that I have to give you, that, and I can rent you another apartment, then I have to rent you another apartment. I can't say I have no obligation to you. I'm renting you the upper story. If it's here, live there. But if it's not there because it falls apart, just like the whole apartment came that fell apart, you come down with it. Says the Gemara, if that was the arrangement that the landlord and the tenant had, so ask the Gemara, Yochum, I remember, what's the question? El Amar Vashi, the Amalei Zu, Eliyah Zu, Shal Gabi Bai Zeh, Ani Maskelach, where he said that the upper apartment on top of the lower apartment is the apartment that I'm renting to you. V'kiha, says, the Hashabit Bai Zeh, what am I saying in this case? My wording indicate that I am giving my apartment to be there to serve your apartment. And therefore, if your apartment becomes unavailable, then I have to give you my apartment. The Shabbat Bayis L'Aliyah. And the Gemara says there's a precedent for this. Ki ha, Dama Ravim Barav, Ada Amar Yitzchak, Masa Be'echad She'amal L'Chaveroi, somebody said to somebody else, Dallas, this grapevine, Agave Parsik, that is hanging on top of this peach tree, ani moichalach, I'm selling to you. And now the necker aparsik, and the peach tree fell apart, was taken away. And he identified the grapevine that's on top of the peach tree. And now, if the peach tree is not there, ba maslof nei reb chiyah, va mechayv ata lahamid loy parsik, because you have to make sure that there's a peach tree there, kos man shadal kiyama, because you identified this grapevine as what is one of the characteristics, or what are the definitions of this grapevine that's going to have a tree supporting it. Because as the Rishonim explain, typically the grapevines are very weak and they need to be supported. So when I sell you or rent you a grapevine, then it's critical that the fact that there is a tree to support it, that what it isn't there to support, makes all the difference on the world. The Muki Yosef says that it's really not the same, because here, the top floor collapsed, and I have to give you another top floor. Here, the tree was uprooted, and I don't have to give you another tree. I just have to give you a different grapevine. So he explains that the Rashbah says that since the way we explained, the upper floor rests on the bottom floor, and the grapevine rests on the tree that's below it. And therefore, since the main point is that what's on top is resting on what's on bottom, that makes the two cases similar. And therefore, the halacha is that just like by the grapevine, I have to give you what I said I would deliver, so too, by the upper floor, I have to use my bottom floor to be there for you if something happens to the upper floor.